chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we'll read verses 16 through 20. Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. And I'll start with verse 16. It says, "Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for allowing us to worship in your house, Lord. I pray that you would go before me. Pray that you would make me speak clearly, Lord. I pray that you would just soften the hearts of those that need to change their ways, Lord. I pray that you just go before me in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to bring forth a message entitled "Follow the Leader." I remember when I was a kid, I used to play Follow the Leader with my brothers. I was the youngest, so I used to play Follow the Leader with my older siblings. And I remember when I would follow my older siblings, they would do things that would make me do the wrong thing. Like they would walk right next. We lived on the farm, so we had a lot of fun things to do. So they would walk over, and they would pick up a piece of sheep manure. And they would act like they ate it. And they'd walk away, and the other person would act like they ate it. And they would walk away, and then the other person would act like they ate it. And then I walked up, and I was like, I gotta obey my brothers, you know. My parents tell me, obey your brothers, you know, or sisters. And my sisters wouldn't do it, of course. But my brothers would tease me all the time. So I would get to that piece of manure, and I'd pick it up. And one time I ate it. And I thought I was a cool kid because I obeyed my brother. I followed that leader. Then I realized once I got older that they really didn't do that. So that's not the right way to follow a leader. But we noticed that Jesus is walking the Sea of Galilee. He is looking amongst the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden he sees two men, Simon and Andrew, fishing right next to the Sea of Galilee. And he looks on them and he sees that these men are good men. They seem like they're good men. And he looks on them and says to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." You know, if I saw someone just randomly come up to me and say, "Come with me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men," I'd be like, no, sir, I don't want to follow you. I don't know you from anyone. But these men, once they heard Jesus say, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men," they realized that this was the Son of God. They realized that this man was going to help them get close, and they were going to walk with God if they followed after him. He also walked a little further, and he saw a couple other guys. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother. He saw these men, and he told them to follow after him. And they stopped what they're doing. They were working with the nets, and they stopped what they were doing, and they followed after Christ. They stopped everything that we're doing. They stopped their occupation. They didn't worry about how their money was going to come after them. They stopped what they were doing, and they followed after Jesus. Does that remind you of someone? People? When God surrenders, when God calls a missionary, he calls them. And they have to surrender their life. They have to decide, you know, I want to follow after Christ. And they have to stop what they're doing. They have to stop their job. They have to stop the 6-digit job that they're working at. And they have to stop and follow after Christ because they love him. And that's what missionaries do. The Hudson Taylor once said, "God isn't looking for people of great faith, but individuals ready to follow him." And that's what we should all be willing to do. Follow after Christ. So let's look at how we can follow the leader, follow Jesus. First of all, we must give God the little faith that we have. What is faith? Jack Hiles once said, "Faith is the willingness to risk anything on God." Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, when I had to memorize, I forget a lot of things. So definitions of faith in college, the way I memorized it is I took the word and I used full assurance in trusting him. And that is true. We have to have full assurance that God will help us along our way, along our walk in life. We notice in Romans 5, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." It says in Romans 12, 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." God has given us individuals a measure of faith, and we have to decide how we use that faith. God has given us faith. Faith comes from the same God who created the world. It says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Faith comes from the same God who destroyed the world with a flood, but promised to never destroy the world with a flood again by sending a rainbow. Faith comes from the same God who brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, but we all know the story of how those children of Israel just decided to not give God their faith. They did not have the faith to believe that God would keep them from starving to death. If only they looked at all the things that God took them from, if they realized that God took them from of a life of slavery, God took them of a life of bondage, but they decided not to give God faith. Faith comes from the same God who gave Elijah food from the ravens and water from the brook Cherith in time of need. That takes a lot of faith. To believe that God will supply your needs each and every day, that takes faith. Faith comes from the same God that gave Job the determination to not quit on God. He had everything in this world to quit on God, but he gave God his faith to believe that he would help him in his time of need. Faith comes from the same God who gave Daniel the courage to pray when the king told him he couldn't, and he realized his life was going to be destroyed, might have been destroyed because he wanted to continue praying. Faith comes from the same God who gave Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego the courage to not bow to the statue. They could have bowed to the statue and not had anything done with them, but they bowed because they had faith in God that he would keep them from going and dying in the furnace. Faith comes from the same God who gave sinful man, his only begotten son, to die on the cross for our wicked sins. It takes faith to be saved because we can't be saved on our own. It says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad God gave us the faith to believe that he can wash away our sins and that we don't have to die and go to hell and we don't have to worry about our destination in life because we asked Jesus to come into our heart? We also notice that God gives us faith to go out soul winning. Sometimes you come across people that are very scary people. I can attest to that. I went to college near Chicago and I saw a lot of scary people. But we notice in Mark 5:1, Jesus did not look on the outward appearance. He looked on the heart. We see in Mark 5:1, if you want to turn there. Mark chapter 5. Starting verse 1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." The first thing that would come to my mind, if I saw a man that was had his clothes torn apart. He was living amongst the tombs. He had chains on him that were broken. I would probably run away, and I'd probably call the police. And they'd be like, I'm sorry, we tried to chain him down, but we couldn't do anything about it. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't run away. He saw the inward, his heart, and he realized that this man was bound by demons. He realized that this man had a problem, and he needed the demons taken out of him. So he cast the demons away from him. And we notice that this man had a changed life. He was completely changed. And how many people come in through the doors of a church, and they have tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom? You can't even see their skin. And we run away because we don't have faith that they can be saved. We need to have faith while we go out soul winning. We need to have faith that God can save those that look scary. Those that have a lot of sin on the outside. We need to look on the inside and realize that there's potential to save everyone. Not only do we see that you must have faith to follow him, but also you must forsake all that you have to follow after Christ. It says in Mark 1:18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. These disciples, they wanted to follow Christ so much that they forsook their occupation. They forsook all the money that was coming into them. They didn't even think about how they were going to supply for their family. All they thought about was following after Christ. Wouldn't that be great if everyone in this room, all the young people, would just say, you know what, I'm giving everything to Christ, no matter if I'm going to be a missionary, no matter if I'm going to be just a great layman for God, I am going to forsake everything and give my whole life to Christ. We notice that it takes surrender to follow after Christ. It takes surrender to forsake all. It says in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Surrender takes sacrifice. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Each and every day we need to sacrifice our life, our whole ambitions in life. Each and every day we need to sacrifice our life to Christ. Surrender also takes separation. We see, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Each and every day our mind is wicked. It's desperate. Our flesh is desperately wicked. We need to take all the sins that we have done in the past, and we need to cast them at Jesus' feet. I remember growing up, my mom's sitting over here. My mom told me that Isaiah, each and every day you need to give your whole body to Christ. Not only you need to die to yourself, and as a 12-year-old, I didn't understand what that meant, but now I understand. You need to give your whole life to Christ. Your mind, guys, ladies, you need to give your mind to Christ, because your mind is wicked. Every person's mind is wicked, and we need to give our mind to Christ. We need to give our hands to Christ. We need to give our eyesight to Christ. We need to give our feet where we go each and every day. We need to give our tongue to Christ. So many times we use our tongue and we destroy lives. We need to give our whole body to Christ. We need to die daily. We notice that not only do we need to have faith to follow after Christ, it takes a lot of faith. Not only do we need to have faith, but we also need to follow after Christ. And lastly, we must follow Christ to the end, finish the course. It says in Hebrews 12:1-2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I can just imagine my grandparents who have gone before me are in heaven, looking down and seeing my life and seeing me as a young man and saying, Isaiah, stay in God's word. And then as I got older, Isaiah, surrender your life. And as I got older, they would say, Isaiah, just become a missionary. God wants you to be a missionary, be a missionary. I could hear them saying, Isaiah, go to Bible college. I could hear them saying, Isaiah, marry the wife that God has made for you. I could hear them say, Isaiah, go on deputation. I could hear them say, Isaiah, just finish the course. And each one of us have loved ones that are in heaven saying, finish the course that is set before us. In order to do that, we need to get rid of the sin in our life, the sin that doth so easily beset us. It says in Psalms 139, 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest thy thoughts afar off. But it says in verse 23 and 24, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. We notice that in order to continue walking on this road, we need to throw away a couple things. We need to throw away the sins that does so easily beset us. Our flesh is wicked. We're all of us are sinful. We have a sinful nature. So we need to, just like I said, die to ourselves daily. We need to run with patience. Being told to have patience means that in this race, we will come across times where we will have to wait on God. To know what He has for our life, we notice that God gives us times in our life that we just have to wait. Wait on God. He gives us, just like David. We know the story of David when he wanted to go destroy the Philistines. And God told him, David, I want you to wait by the mulberry trees. And when you hear the sounds of the mulberry trees, move. I want you to go defeat the Philistines. Sometimes God wants us to wait. We don't like waiting, do we? Being patient is not a fun thing. I know I am very impatient because I grew up in Minnesota and we're pretty patient, right? Amen. But when you start learning how to drive in Chicago, you learn all the wrong ways to drive. And the people in Chicago are very, very impatient. And if I would have probably a whole day's worth of stories that I could tell you about all the people that are very impatient over in Chicago. But we need to be patient because God sometimes has us to wait because He wants to teach us something. He wants us to learn something when we wait. We learn so much when we just wait on God. Also, we see that finish so that God will call you faithful. Who wants to be faithful in here? Who wants to be called faithful in here at the end of your life? Do you want to be known as faithful or someone who quit? The Bible says, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Billy Sunday once said, stopping at third adds no more to the score than striking out. It doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish. It's so true. We're running this race. Don't fall short of fulfilling God's will for our life. Not only do we see that we need to have faith in order to follow after Christ, we need to forsake all to follow after Christ, and we need to follow after Christ until the end. Let's be known as those Christians that followed after Christ to the finish line. Jack Hiles once said, I'd rather die in the will of God than to live outside of it. What is the will of God? The will of God is nothing less, nothing more, and nothing else. Tonight, let's be like the disciples and stop what we're doing. Stop everything, all the occupations that we're doing, and follow after Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for allowing me to preach your word.